Okay. Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Action features. It's getting crazy funky.
Sounds really crunked.
That's funky.
Yeah, that sounds crunky funky.
That's David Bowie.
Oh, was
off,
it?
Off of his last album. Yeah.
Cool, man.
It's called
Rest
Sue.
In Peace.
Rest in peace.
Hey, man.
Hey.
It's Action Features.
Hey.
New episode. Free for all.
We're going to talk about action.
Talk about action. Talk about features.
Talk about some of the features.
First and foremost, birthday shout out to our number one fan, Blaze.
Blaze.
Tomorrow is Blaze's birthday. He turns 15 years old. He's a great kid. He loves the show. Knows more about the show than both of us combined, easily.
Yep.
If ever we have a question about the show, I take it to Blaze.
That's right.
Ask if we've done something before. Ask what episode we did it in. Anything.
Although he has been slacking lately.
On
listening. And I hear it's because of homework and things.
It was because homework and things he couldn't catch up.
Blaze.
And then
don't listen to what your dad says. You gotta listen to the show first. Yeah, well, the show takes precedence.
He's on summer break now, so he did the run through again.
Oh. Okay.
But his iPod, he put a passcode on it, and now he can't remember what it is. And so now his iPod is like locked, and I'm gonna have to reboot the whole thing, reset the whole thing.
That sounds like fun.
But he uses, you know, our phones or something like that to listen to the show. He can listen to it on, he's got the Apple TV in his room, so he can listen to podcasts through that, and that's where he listens to it at. But a very happy birthday to him. 15 years old, I can't believe it.
Happy birthday, pal. I can't either.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I remember carrying him around the store.
I know, putting him in like that bin,
yeah,
and like flying him around the store, and now he's 15. Can't do that anymore. I went back and looked at some of our old video reviews. And it was blowing my mind, like, that the time has gone by that fast.
Yeah.
That he was this little tiny dude to being a young man now.
He'll be getting his license next year.
Next year I'll have his license.
It's he'll crazy. Have it.
He'll as have
as soon as he turns 16 next year.
They'll just give it to him.
They hand it out.
They say, here's your license. Yeah. No. They don't do that. They don't do that.
Oh.
Okay. So that was, I wanted to say that first. I did see Spider-Man Homecoming. I am not going to talk about it until the end of the show. That way, if people want to turn off the show and avoid spoilers, they can.
There you go.
But I do want to talk about it towards the end of the show.
Sounds good.
What do you got?
A little bit of nothing.
I got a few things.
I got just a few things.
We also want to talk about San Diego Comic-Con a bit. That's a week from now. We're going to talk about things we'd like to see at Comic-Con. Did you come up with some things?
Just some hopes. I just have a couple.
Okay. So let's do the other things first. Then we'll do the Comic-Con and then the Spider-Man Homecoming stuff at the end.
Okay. First, I'll just say that Sam Elliott has a new movie out called The Hero.
Does he have a mustache in it?
Yes, he does.
Sweet.
Yes.
Sweet.
And there's a couple movies where he doesn't have his mustache, and it's...
Those are weird.
It's really...
It's very
jarring.
Strange.
It's jarring, yeah. But anyway, it looks really good. And it's a drama, but it's about an actor who is famous for playing this one role, and he can't get any work anymore.
Whoa.
And he has, like, this resurgence or something like that. It just looks really good.
All right. Is it going to theaters, or is it, like...
It's supposed to be out already, but I've not seen anything about it. I've not seen it on DVD. I've not seen it in the theater.
All right.
I have no idea.
Maybe it'll be on Netflix Instant Stream.
Sooner or later. Maybe it is already. I don't know. So there's that.
I'll check it out. A war for the Planet of the Apes comes out tomorrow.
They're going to fight for it.
I'm very excited.
Flip a coin for it.
Very excited to go see it. I love those first two.
I know you do. This is the third one.
I think it's the most successful reboot of a franchise. Even though it's sort of a reboot, sort of a sequel, sort of a... kind of fits in with the old ones.
Yeah,
I feel like it's the most successful reboot series.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's in a weird spot because... Well, the first one was just called Planet of the Apes, right?
No. They're all called something different.
That's right.
It's Rise of the Planet of the Apes, right. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the
Apes. So it could be an alternate timeline if you want it to be. It could be a...
Yeah. It kind of fits with the old ones.
It does kind of fit in. It's just focusing more on that time period in between, was it the fourth and the fifth one, or...
Well, it takes place in the time period... before the fourth one,
right?
Because it's kind of the time period in between the third and fourth one, but The third one kind of changes the timeline of the original films. So this is maybe the timeline that existed before before Cornelius and Zira changed the timeline in 3.
Yeah.
So you could kind of say that this maybe is the timeline that leads to the first one.
Yeah.
Because then the first and second one lead to them going back in time in the third one, and the timeline changing to make the fourth and fifth one.
You can enjoy both sets.
You can. I mean, if you just want to watch these three, you're fine. If you want to try and make it make sense to fit into the other ones, you can. But it's textbook how you do a good reboot.
Yeah.
You know, that's, man, really, really good.
They got 3 movies out of it. That's pretty rare.
Everybody said great things about the third one so far. We're really excited about seeing it. That's one of the things Blaze chose for his birthday weekend festivities, was to go see that movie right when it came out.
Unlike me, who got Tabe'd on my 10th, I think it was my 10th birthday.
Yeah.
I think
I also Tabe'd myself. I think we've talked about it, where I chose Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah. And I chose poorly. Yeah. I chose NeverEnding Story 2.
Oof.
Remember that? Yikes. It was me. My friend Josh was
over. Look at us in our rough sequels.
My friend Josh was over, and he was like, you know, my mom gave me the choice. You get, we can go to the Castle Skateland. This is a roller skating rink, which is made to look like a castle on the outside.
I drove by that the other day, and I said, hey, Castle Skateland.
Yeah.
And Blaze said, oh, that's the one that Mike could have gone to for his birthday.
Okay, so I did tell about it.
Yeah, he did tell about it.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, so better choice for you, Blaze.
Yeah.
Good job.
A little older. Even Bobby wants to go see it, but she doesn't really like to go to the movie theater at all. She doesn't really care about movies.
She liked the other ones.
She really liked those first two. Yeah, okay. She's like, I want to go see that one. Like, I'm excited to see where that
goes. There you go. So what we got here? My mom sent these along. Doritos Dynamita.
Dynamita.
With 2 sticks of dynamite. 1 is up and 1 is down.
I'll try one.
Chili Lyman.
I'll try them.
I know. Boom.
Are they dynamita?
A little bit, yeah. Wow.
Mmm. Those are good.
Pretty good. Wow. That's spicy and lime.
Yeah. Very red with the flavor.
On a rolled up Dorito.
Mmm.
Well, okay.
You didn't bring a drink, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm sunk.
That's rough. Why don't you go get a drink?
Anyway, thanks, Mom. Maybe I will.
Mmm.
What do you got?
Well, I just did the Planet Apes thing. You want to do something?
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, okay. Excuse me.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm chewing this thing. So, I haven't had cable for a long time because I don't need it. But I'm married.
Now you're married.
But I'm married
now.
You
have cable.
And my wife, my wife wants cable. So I have cable. So one thing I noticed about cable is
mostly it sucks.
Yeah, it's as bad as I remember it. But so we're watching. They spent weeks building up this Amelia Earhart documentary.
Yeah,
they're doing
the photo.
Yeah. So they had because they found this photograph, and I knew what it was going to be, but I thought I like to. There's little bits of information you can glean from these documentaries when they put them out, because
I saw that Amelia Earhart drawing you posted that was very good.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it as a sketch during lunch, and then I like took it back home and
I liked it a lot.
Did the rest of it. I was going for a Dave Stevens type look, like kind of a classic.
Very, very cool.
Thanks. So anyway, that's a point of interest. But we were watching the documentary. It was a build up for weeks, and I'm like, let's record this, let's watch it. This will be good. So we watched it. And I think it's an hour or 2 hour special. I can't remember which it is. This is it's a long time. And they build up this whole thing, and they bring these people on, and they're like, oh, this guy's an expert pilot. And they all talk like they're friends.
I'm
and
a pilot.
Stuff.
I can fly.
They go through all this crap, authenticating this photograph. And, you know, they're basically making a long episode out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They get all the way to the point where they go out to this island and they're excavating this point on this island where she was supposed to be buried, and they're looking for bone fragments.
Mm-hmm. So that's 2 different theories you're talking about right now.
It's the same theory.
Mm.
Is that
the photo was that they were captured by the Japanese.
Yeah.
The on the island is that they were supposedly crash landed on a deserted island. and survive there until they die.
That's a different theory. Yeah. In the same theory where they're captured by the Japanese, they were supposedly executed by the Japanese.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the... Because the guys that support the island theory are still searching for bone fragments there, too.
Right. So and I guess there was a dig...
dogs there.
I guess there was a dig back in the 70s or something where they did find some bone fragments, but those have disappeared, and so they can't run DNA tests on them. But anyway, so they get to the end of this. They get all the way to where they're digging for these bone fragments, which you know they're not going to find.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they basically just have this giant hole in the ground, and they go, well, there's nothing here. Well, all right. Dust off their hands, and then it's like, it. Roll credits, and it's like...
Well, did you hear the capper for the picture? It was just revealed by historians. These two guys posted. The picture has been in textbooks in Japan that were published 2 years before Amelia Earhart disappeared.
Oh, okay.
So the picture that supposedly depicted them after they crashed and disappeared had actually appeared in textbooks 2 years beforehand.
I see.
So it's not them in the picture.
So definitely not them.
It's not them in the picture. So they built this whole documentary around this picture.
Based around the photo.
And the photo's been completely disproven by the fact that it was in the textbooks 2 years beforehand.
Right. But every one of these documentaries is like this, where you know if they actually found something...
It would be all over the news already.
You'd already heard about it. Yeah. You wouldn't be hearing about it just on...
on a documentary. Yeah. They wouldn't be able to hold that secret.
Yeah, History Channel wouldn't be like, well, we've got the... Excuse me. We've got the exclusive scoop here. So now we're doing... They have a whole series on American Ripper. Where it's, this guy has a theory that his great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-uncle, whatever, was Jack the Ripper. So that sounds interesting, too. So naturally, we're going to record that.
You know what's going to happen?
So we
nothing.
Exactly.
It's not going to solve any mysteries. Exactly.
So we watched the first episode. Watched the first episode. And the guy that he thinks was Jack the Ripper was actually caught and confessed serial killer here. He was America's first serial killer. I didn't know about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He built this giant building in Chicago. They call it now the Murder Castle.
Okay.
With it has secret passageways and compartments and stuff so that he could murder people in there and dispose of the bodies and cut them up and stuff. I thought, why haven't I heard about this guy? Just do a documentary on that guy.
Yeah.
Which is basically what this is, because they bring in this specialist and she's kind of cute. She's an ex-FBI, but she's kind of cute. And it's like, no, you just...
She's pretty good looking.
And she's not. She's got something funky going on. But she's, you know, for the purposes, she's like, well, John contacted me and I just got real intrigued by it. I'm like, no, History Channel contacted you. Because they went through a big file, a big long list of all these people they could have on the show, and they picked the one that had the most charisma to be on the show. And then History Channel contacted you. Not the other way. It wasn't this guy didn't contact you. Like, you two had just become friends and you would start to think about it.
He wrote on her wall.
It's just it's almost ridiculous the way they treat the public and the people, you know, if you accept everything at face value that's in these things. And right off the bat, she's like, well, the MO for Jack the Ripper and this guy, the methods are totally different. But maybe he
changed things up.
Maybe he changed it so that he could just, you know, she's like, she's coming up with these reasons why we can drag this out through 8 episodes or 10 episodes or however long the series is going to be.
That's cool, man.
And you know, at the end of it, I know at the end of it.
Don't you love paying for cable?
I know at the end of it, they're going to say, well, we really don't know. And
it's pretty inconclusive.
It's
still a mystery.
That's what it should be called, is the Inconclusive Channel, not the History Channel. Inconclusive Channel.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my experience with
cable.
With cable now, with History Channel.
Sweet, man. Glad you got it.
Everything is like that.
Glad you got it.
Everything's a reality show that's on TV.
Oh, it's all reality now. There are very few programs that aren't reality.
Yeah.
That survive now, it seems. Even other than a CSI.
Even the ones that I kind of enjoy, like we've been watching Forged in Fire, which is a knife making where these guys have to go and they have to forge blades and it's a contest, but the way it's cut is like real, real quick cuts and then we're going to play some rock music and then we're going to... I get it.
They go with the cuts.
Like everything is made for ADD. It's really... When you haven't been watching it and then you jump back in, it's like, whoa, man, this... Whoa.
What you're saying about the ADD thing, it's even in the cartoons I noticed. It's really like, oh man,
it's like just like boom, flashing
boom,
colors.
Boom,
yeah,
boom, here almost. It is. It's like, man, no, it's not fun to watch. It's not, just
it's a headache.
Really hard to get through stuff sometimes.
Yeah. But so. Anyway, spoiler alert, we still don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened. Matt Reeves, directing the next Batman movie, has announced that they're starting from scratch with the script. They're throwing out the Ben Affleck script and the Geoff Johns script, starting from scratch.
What does that mean?
I think that's the right move.
Do we know anything about the previous script?
No, other than that they were having real troubles making it work.
Yeah. Well, if you can't make it work, that's
can't make good, it work. Got to get rid of it.
Good to move on.
And Matt Reeves, I mean, he did the last Planet of the Apes. He did this new Planet of the Apes, and he was talking about the story he wants to tell. He wants to delve more into the detective side of Batman.
That sounds
which
good.
Is really cool. Yeah. I'm excited about that. I think it's the right way to go. If that script wasn't working, you can't just keep trying to polish a turd. Yeah. Better just throw it all out. Start with something new, new director, new direction, new vision, and just see how it goes.
Batman being more of a detective.
I like that noise.
I like that a lot.
Oh, did you hear the next Batman, the direct-to-animated DC movie?
Huh.
Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, very cool.
That's very exciting.
Very cool.
I'm very excited to see that. I hope that the art style for it matches Mignola. They try to get it close to that, at least.
They'll probably try.
It seems like more and more they're distancing themselves from trying to capture art style sometimes.
Yeah.
But they did it for Dark Knight Returns. They did Frank Miller, and they did Mazzucchelli, sort of, for year one. It's not dead on Mazzucchelli, but...
Yeah, it's pretty close.
I guess I'm thinking more about the Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders thing, and that it's such a generic style to it that...
I think you're not satisfied with the Killing Joke.
And I wasn't either. Satisfied with... was it Killing Joke?
I think so.
Did I even watch Killing Joke? Did they make Killing Joke?
I think so. Or
what am I thinking of?
There's one they did. It was last year, I think.
Was it Killing Joke?
I think so.
Yeah, it was Killing Joke because it's
Bolland.
Yeah, and it didn't look anything like Bolland artwork.
Brian Bolland.
I have to go back and look at this and see what the art style looked like. Yeah, that is it, man. Yeah, the art style didn't look anything like Brian Bolland. It was very generic. That's exactly it. You're totally right. So hopefully they make it look like Mignola art. I think that'd be
cool.
Pretty awesome.
That would be easier to do, I think, than Bolland in an animated style.
I think
style
so
because
too.
There's less line work. It's more heavy black spots and,
Yeah. With Killing Joke, too, I'm more impressed with the art than I am the story. And so if you take away that aspect of it, it's just kind of a mediocre story, really. Yeah. Gotham by Gaslight is a good story and good art.
Yeah. So, cool subject matter. Yeah. That'd be cool.
That's going to be really neat. And Eric Nidor, there's a Gotham by Gaslight, like a fan site or something like that. They put together like a fan trailer and they used his artwork in the trailer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was really neat.
Good job, Eric.
Yeah.
Go, Eric. Well, his piece was really cool.
It is really cool.
Really good looking. What do you got?
Well, that was me. But I just came up with that. But I can come up with something else.
I don't have much else.
I got something else. Neil Blomkamp is talking more and more about his abandoned Alien project now.
Yeah.
And he gave this rundown that talked about how he was writing an Aliens movie that was kind of a third movie that didn't really was a sequel to Alien and Aliens. And he had Scorning Weaver there when they were filming Chappie, and he talked to her about the idea. He's like, because I know you wouldn't really want to come back and do one, but I have an idea for an Alien project. And she's like, no, I would love to come back and do one. I don't think the character ended right. I would love to have a good ending for that character. And so then he rewrote the whole thing, wrote a script, and he worked on this. And Sigourney Weaver's the only one that knew about it. Worked through this whole script, and the return of Hicks, and the return of Ripley, and then got a conceptual artist and did all this work. Got the whole thing rolling. We all know the story of how, it became like a fan driven thing and it really was turning into something. And then Ridley Scott being Ridley Scott I only want my Alien movies to be out there and ended it. And he's been talking about how, it wasn't even a script. It was like a couple page treatment. It was nothing. It sounds like it was a lot more than nothing. Yeah. And he's just trying to save face and make it sound like it was less than what it was. Hey, I'm giving you these Alien movies. Alien Covenant didn't do that well. I think that Alien 5 would have done much better. And now hearing even more that it was more of a fleshed out idea than what he's saying really, really stinks. I have no interest in anything Ridley Scott does with Alien at this point.
Yeah, he's kind of... That gave me a bad taste.
It really did me too. I didn't even want to give Alien Covenant a chance after hearing him kind of dismiss the idea of the Alien 5. And then hearing him even more dismissing it, talking about how it was just a couple page treatment. And it sounded like it was like a year of that guy's life that he put into it. It's kind of a jerk move
to make
it sound like that.
To make a Prometheus sequel.
To make a Prometheus sequel that nobody really liked anyway. So, what do you got?
Well, I was in an office environment the other day, and I saw a sign, and the sign said, "Work like a captain, play like a pirate." And I got the sentiment immediately, but I couldn't help but think how stupid it was and poorly thought out, because if you're a captain of a pirate ship, it's not like all the pirates are running around playing and you're doing all the work. Everybody on a ship has to do the work. Everybody on the ship does work. And then when you're a pirate, you're still doing work, even when you're plundering and raping and pillaging and doing all the fun stuff. It's still work. That's all hard work. And I don't know if you've ever seen a pirate movie, but the captain always goes with them.
Yeah.
The pirates don't go out on the island and tear apart.
Are they saying it's work like a captain of a pirate ship or just like the captain of a ship? What's the pirates got to do with it?
Even if it was, maybe it's the view of a captain who's a captain of a regular ship and not a pirate ship.
Yeah.
And he just thinks that pirates are out there having fun, having a good time.
Play like a pirate doesn't make much sense either, because everybody kind of plays. When it's time to play, it doesn't matter if you're pirate or captain, you're still playing.
That's what I'm saying. The captain of the ship is just the head of all the other people on the ship.
When it's playtime for the captain, he's still going to do fun things.
Yeah. The captain...
It should be, work like a captain, play like a captain.
Play like a captain. Because the captain...
He still gets to play.
He's the head of everything.
Yeah, but he gets his time off.
But he so do the pirates. I mean, they
get their time off.
They get shore leave.
Everybody works, everybody plays.
They get shore leave, just the same as the captain does. The captain goes with the pirates.
It should have been work like an adult, play like a kid.
Play like a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then when you're playing like a kid, you're completely carefree. You don't even think about the
work like
time.
A pauper. Play like a king.
Play like a prince.
Like a prince.
Yeah.
Prince and the Pauper. It's just very poorly thought out. I thought that...
Very poorly thought out.
You're like drawing a contrast between two things that are really just the
Somebody
same
Somebody just loves to dress as a pirate on weekends and they wanted to work it into their work environment.
Play... work like
Pixieland. A... Pixieland.org.
Work like a...
Work like a...
Work like the chief of police.
Yeah.
Play like the police... Play like a police officer.
It's good. It's good.
That's what I thought was funny.
Work like you live in a city, play like you live in Neverland.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey.
As if you're not playing in the city at all.
Yeah, you don't play in the city.
Work like... That's what it should have been.
Yeah.
Work like a pirate.
Work like a pirate.
Play like a lost boy.
Play like a lost boy.
There you go.
There you go. That's
they're
good.
Not doing anything.
Yeah, they're just playing around. They're just lost boys.
They have
no responsibilities.
They don't have to do anything. They're skateboarding everywhere. They're sliding.
What's
down
it matter at work anyway? You're not playing at work anyway.
Yeah.
It should just be work like a captain.
And that's it. And that's it.
You know, on your own time, figure out how you're going to play.
Put a play sign up at home.
I would take that sign and cross out everything after work like a captain. Everybody knows there's no play time here.
There's no play time.
Work like a captain. Then right over it, there's no play time here.
That's how you become a that's how you become a captain. You work like a captain.
We don't play around here. That's what you should say afterwards.
That's
like a captain. Scratch it out. We don't play around here.
They should scratch off the captain part too and just put.
Yeah.
We don't play around here.
We don't play around here. Just work.
This is just
get your work done. Then go home and play. Place. All right.
It's not for play.
It's not for play time. What else you got written down? Anything else you want to switch over to San Diego Con?
Well, I thought we might do a birthday call.
Oh yeah. Let's do it.
I don't know if we have to. Right, see if we
well, we're already at 24 minutes. I think it'll have to be brief.
We'll try it. We'll make it really brief.
We're going to call our friend. I'm going to say who it is.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Henry Micklin. Good friend for a long time. His birthday's tomorrow.
He's been on here before. Here he is. Make the call.
how he picks up.
He might not, but you know he will.
It doesn't seem like he's going to. He didn't pick up.
Nope. Hello?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, it's Henry. It's James, too.
Yeah, my birthday's tomorrow, buddy.
Hey, wait one second, buddy. Hey, we're recording a podcast right now, and you're on it. Is that okay with you?
Hey, guys, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. So tomorrow's your birthday.
Yes, I'm going to be 36, and Blaze's birthday, too.
That's right. You remembered.
Yes.
Blaze will be 15. You'll be 36.
Yes, guess who I like right now?
Chris Reeve.
You like Chris Reeve, Superman?
Of course.
Of course.
You always like him.
Yeah, you don't.
I love him.
You don't just like him
because
right now.
You know, when my dad died in front of me, he gave me one of his last remaining powers to be saying the son becomes the father becomes the son.
That's right.
I'm gonna be 36. I'm gonna be an old man now.
Hey, man, you're not old. You're only as old as you feel.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
I feel like I'm 25.
Oh, right, man. Then you're 25 tomorrow.
Yes, and you know, it's great that you guys care. And no, I didn't. Did you guys like Man of Steel?
I didn't like Man of Steel.
I didn't see it.
I didn't like the way they did General Zod. They did General Zod. No, I like Terrence Stamp.
I do too. I also like the way they did Superman.
Yeah,
I'll take Chris Reeve. And Superman. Also,
yeah, and then Superman Returns was a horrible sequel to the original because they brought back Marlon Brando, Jor-El. And also, this costume was stupid. He didn't have the S on the back of the cape.
It was stupid. You're right. And those little tiny underwears they had him in?
Yeah, and then also Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor.
No thanks.
And then he had... Yeah, and as Lex Luthor. And it's not like Gene Hackman.
No, it wasn't.
It's nothing like Gene.
What are you going to do for your birthday?
Well, I'm going to go to the Corral, you know, and to the Glen, to the Corral, eat with my friend a burger, fries, and a Coke.
Ooh. Oh, burger, fries, and Coke. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, and you
don't you usually go to Olive Garden?
No, they have at the Glen. They have lots of great burger places. I'm a huge burger fan and stuff.
Oh, okay. I used to go to Olive Garden a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and I ordered lots of Superman figures you saw.
Oh, that's great, man. Did you get the NECA one?
Yeah, yeah, and I'm ordering like the 6-inch Superman figure with the Krypton robot, and the uniform, the costume resembles more Christopher Reeve with the S on the back.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
Yeah, because see, the thing is, he was my hero, Christopher Reeve, and I always will cherish him. But 3 was good because of the junkyard fight, and 4 was okay. I didn't like the story of Nuclear Man, like Zod, Ursa, and Nod. I like the 3 villains.
Yeah, I like the first 2 a whole lot. The third
Me too.
One has its moments. I enjoy the third one. The fourth one's not so good.
No, no. And you know what I'll do to bad guys like Mike?
Yeah.
Bad guys let's like say, Mike?
Yeah, bad guys.
Yeah, like, yeah, like Mike. Let's say Richard Lawson gets away in his 57 Chevy. How are you going to spin him around and fly him into the Coca-Cola sign like Superman did to General Zod? What are you going to tell him, guys?
I'm going to say have a good flight.
And then you enjoy Coca-Cola, right?
This order say, hey, drink up.
This order's to go.
Yeah, you know, the Donner cut was the best, better one than the Lester. Don't you agree?
I agree. It kind of, you have to know where it was going with the first one because they both had the time travel at the end. So you have to know that they were going to save the time travel for the second one if Donner got to do both of them.
Yeah, because the Lester, they did the Paris scene.
Yeah.
Which was good, but they didn't have Marlon Brando. They had Susanna York for the depowering sequence. But
yeah.
I like the Marlon Brando repowering sequence.
Me too, buddy.
But I have a question. But what? How come Jor-El's spirit died away?
Well, it's because he had to use all the power to put back into. Once Clark gave up his powers, he had to use every bit of the power of the fortress to put his powers back into him.
But how come my dad gave me the last remaining powers?
Hey, because you needed them, buddy.
You need them to take care of your mom and your family and your house.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, you know what? We can't stay on any longer here tonight, but we'll give you a call again tomorrow, okay?
And you know, you know what? And the one thing I'm glad you guys care about, and I care about you. I'm glad that you're a good dad. You did a good job naming your son Keaton Christopher Sawyer.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
And God bless you. You too, Mike. You're a good friend.
Buddy.
All right, pal. We're gonna call you again tomorrow, though, on your actual birthday, okay?
What time?
Oh, it'll be a surprise.
Surprise
time. Well, you know, I'm going to leave the house. My friend's going to pick me up at 11:15 at noon. We're going to eat somewhere.
Okay, we'll call you early then.
And you know one thing? when I got Abby out of the water, I screamed a loud scream when she was. But you know what I did? I went back, turned the world, and then I saved her from going under the pier. So Abby's alive.
That's awesome, buddy. You did it.
That's a big relief for me.
Yeah, and one more thing before I go. Did you like Helen Slater's Supergirl?
You know, I think she looks cool as Supergirl.
I still like it a lot.
But the new TV show, Melissa Benoit, she doesn't have the classic Supergirl costume. She doesn't have the S on the back of the cape, which I kind of feel upset.
It was kind of a fun movie.
Don't be too upset about it, buddy. Just, you gotta let certain things go.
Enjoy the ride.
You know?
I like the classic Superman outfit with Reeve.
Me too, buddy. All right, pal.
One more thing.
Oh, go ahead. Can
you be Lex Luthor very quick? I'll be Otis.
Really quick.
I'm Lex Luthor. It's good to see you after 5 years in jail after Superman, you know, over the Boy Scout, you know?
Lex Luthor. Lex. Greatest criminal mind of our time.
Yeah, and don't be mad, Mr. Luthor. You know, Gus Gorman, when he gave him the kryptonite, Mr. Luthor, and he made him not so good Superman, remember that?
Yes.
Where were you at that time? You missed it.
I was in Otisburg.
Oh.
You see, that's a throwback.
Yeah, I like the junkyard fighting Superman.
Oh, that's great, buddy. It's great. Hey, we got to sign off. We got to get back to the show, okay?
You guys take care of yourself. God bless you and your family.
You too, pal.
Tomorrow morning.
We're going to call you tomorrow.
You got it, my friends.
Happy early birthday, okay?
God bless you and your family. All right. You too.
All right, take care, pal.
You too.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
That was Henry, good friend of the show, good friend of ours for years now.
Old Hank.
Little birthday surprise for him there, calling during the show. Okay, so San Diego Comic-Con talk. You want to get into that or what?
Yeah, sure.
Unless you it's next week. There's not a whole lot I'm looking forward to right now. What are you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, unless you want a letter from
Let's do a letter to Mattel's, then we'll do San Diego.
All right, this one's pretty short. Dear Mattel, well, the Christmas season is upon us, and that means more He-Man figures for all of us, everyone. Yuletide carols will be sung in choirs all over the globe, so why not let Santa have some help this season? The least. Cooltide, master of the frozen seas. Blaze-R, master of fire. Univ-Or, master of the universe. Ring-Wreath.
Master of the universe.
Yeah. Ring-Wreath. Special holiday evil.
Special holiday evil. Ring Wreath. Instead of Ring Wraith.
Right.
Yeah.
Last but not least, the other ones were the least. This one's not the least.
But it was a play on the list. Wasn't it the least?
I think it was just because I had the last but not least.
I gotcha.
And so the other ones were the least.
Okay, I gotcha.
Friendicon. I thought maybe he could transform or something. He's the new ally for Prince Adam and probably needs to have some transforming capabilities to live up to the suffix of his name. That's it.
That's it. That's it. No sign off that time.
No sign off that time.
You gave him enough.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. San Diego Comic-Con is upon us in a week. It's a mecca for pop culture happenings and reveals.
It feels to me like we just had this.
Does to me too. Ago.
I know it wasn't 2 weeks ago because we recorded, but
I guess because the reveals aren't as big a deal as they used to be. Like it's kind of, we find out stuff throughout the year, and
daily stuff is coming out, so it's kind of
not a huge thing anymore.
Also, I just think of Comic-Con as being like more action figures are going to get shown, and
yeah.
So
I feel like Comic-Con's become more and more just movie stuff's going to be talked about.
Yeah,
there's some movie stuff that's going to happen. There's TV show stuff that's going to happen. Comic stuff is secondary.
Yeah.
Or even
third dairy.
For me, I want a better announcement about Marvel Legacy. They need to kind of right that ship that was the kind of fervor that people had for the Marvel Legacy idea, and it was such a lackluster announcement after that. That here's an opportunity, the biggest comic show there is, maybe give us some more info on Marvel Legacy that will make us realize that maybe it is something.
Even if they didn't really have anything.
Do something.
Don't you think you could take the disappointment that everybody felt and then just say, okay, so maybe we should do what we said we did.
Maybe we should do the thing that we were teasing.
And we'll just announce that we are actually going to do that.
We are going to do that thing.
And then do that.
Just do that
thing. You got enough money to pay some people to come up with some books, you know?
Just make that happen now.
Yeah.
So that's a big one for me. What are you, you got something you got? Really
I don't have much, honestly. Anything that I really want is not going to happen, but,
I'll still say it. Why not say it?
Well, I've have a couple, Mad Max. Once again, I'd like to see a Mad Max figure.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I don't know that it's going to happen, but, it's probably not gonna happen this year, but there's a chance, you know, that at some point NECA's going to say, hey, we finally got this.
We got it. I'm in this. There's a couple things on mine that are like that. I would like to see Hasbro's Marvel Legends embrace older movie and TV incarnations of their characters. Like, we're getting stuff from the current films, stuff from the current TV series. But how cool would it be, I don't know how the licensing would work out, to get like a Dolph Lundgren Punisher in Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
Or as a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, like a new version of that figure in Marvel Legends. Or to get even like the cheesy, crazy stuff, like a David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury. Or a 70 Spider-Man really from the TV cool. series. I think that would be awesome if they would sprinkle that older stuff into the mix. It doesn't always have to be what's the current thing. You know what? I'm going to embrace some of those older versions. Fun.
Well, when they did that Dazzler, it was...
Yeah, they did an old comic version of stuff. It would be neat to see old live-action interpretations of stuff brought into there. So that's... I know it'll never happen, but it would be cool to see something
Be cool. Since it is Comic-Con, I would like to see IDW announce that they have a new Rocketeer book coming out, and I would like to see some good artists on it.
Yeah, that would be cool, as opposed to the last series.
So
it was not so good. It's the only Rocketeer series I've never, that I didn't buy.
Yeah, I didn't touch it.
I got the first one, I think it was, and then I said, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't support this.
It's not very good.
I want to see something for the Justice League movie that shows what Joss Whedon is doing with it, to see... Because everything I've seen so far for Justice League has left me not wanting to watch Justice League.
Josh Whedon.
I would like to see a trailer or something that shows maybe a Justice League that I want to watch.
Yeah.
And maybe Joss Whedon's influence will make it a Justice League I want to watch. So I want to see something from that film that makes me want to see it.
Yeah.
I want to see more stuff from DC Collectibles as far as the animated lines go, because it feels like those were really, really awesome. And then they just kind of fizzled out. Like, they didn't really show much more, and then it was kind of, here's a 5-pack, here's a couple things. And it felt like the train was going on those. Like, people were really embracing them and thinking it was a really cool thing that they were doing, and then it just kind of been, eh.
You're talking about the Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like it just kind of lost its momentum.
Maybe all those, you know...
The multi-packs and the...
Doing stuff, yeah, reissuing the Batmobile
with more stuff in it.
Yeah.
That may have killed it a lot. They've only shown one Superman release, and that came out this week, the Superman Lois 2-pack. But past that, it's like, okay, well, the whole thing was supposed to be removing the Justice League, and we finish off all Batman. But it's kind of feeling like... It's like they almost wanted to just get it over with. They put all the Batman villains that you wanted into a 5-pack together instead of doing them all single release, and it was like, why are you doing that? Why not release those? It almost felt like, let's just get it over with. Maybe which is crazy to me.
That's it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe they just want to get it over with. Who knows?
I don't know.
You got something else?
Well,
I got one more.
Yeah, I have one more. It would be nice if they showed a classic Blade Runner set. Or
the licensing figures. On that is different.
Yeah.
But
they're doing the new ones.
They're doing the new one.
And they look pretty good.
They look really good.
Sometimes that seems to have given way to
the licensing getting opened up on the older stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I know it's a separate thing, and I know NECA would probably want to do it.
I'm sure they would. Yeah. Cause
hopefully it works out.
I wouldn't mind having a Deckard and,
I would love it.
Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie?
I can't remember now. Roy Batty.
Roy Batty. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Give me those two.
Yeah. I think it's what everybody wants.
Yeah.
They don't really want the new guys. They want to get the old guys. But if it takes supporting the new guys to show the interest is there, maybe it's worth picking up the new guys.
Yeah.
And they look great.
They look good.
The head sculpture. They showed the unpainted versions of the sculpts that I think it's Trevor Grove that did those, or Trevor Zammit. Is either Trevor Grove or Trevor Zammit? I can't remember who did it. But they showed unpainted pictures of the sculpts. And they looked really good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that the Ryan Gosling was a little weak on the painted version.
Yeah.
But the unpainted sculpt looked like dead on. Dead on.
I think the paint was a little bit.
I think, the photography and the paint was maybe a little bit off.
Something was on
that one.
Yeah.
But maybe it's worth picking those two up just to show the interest is there for more Blade Runner product. Yeah. And then past that, they revealed a Hasbro multi-pack for the show that's exclusive. That has it's embracing the show? IDW series.
What show?
For San Diego Con.
Oh, okay.
So that I'm sorry, the convention.
I got you.
That's for the IDW Revolution series that kind of ties all the Hasbro properties together.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a Transformer, a G.I. Joe, Action Man. It's got a Mask figure, a ROM figure, and a Centurions figure all in one pack. And Micronauts are in there.
Visionaries.
And a Visionaries. Did I say Visionaries?
Or
did
Centurions.
I say? Centurions. I meant to say Visionaries. I'm sorry. And I would like to see what they're doing with those properties past that.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just the first taste. They're going to do more stuff. As much as I want the ROM and the Lyric from the Visionaries, I'm so sick of those 25th anniversary molds. Like, it's still mining that 25th anniversary style of figures to do more stuff with those bodies types.
It's not the 25th anniversary anymore.
It's not. We can move away from that now. Like,
10 years.
We've seen all this stuff so many times. And as cool as it is that they managed to work out a ROM and a Visionaries figure out of that stuff, it still just feels like the same stuff.
Right.
And the Matt Tracker, it's basically the old Matt Tracker with a few switched out parts that you just released a few years ago. But it's the new version of Matt Tracker from the IDW series. And if it means that these properties are just going to be using those molds again, here's more of this stuff, but used for these properties. No thanks. They deserve better than that.
Well, you know, if they were going to do, like, Leoric had some parts that were very unique to Visionaries.
Yeah.
So they had to do something there. And if they were going to do a whole line of Visionaries that they had to use some G.I. Joe parts or something, I guess I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
They're not holograms, which I don't.
I hope that that's just a prototype thing. Because that's the whole thing of Visionaries is the holograms.
Yeah. Don't tell me you don't have the technology now.
Didn't they put a hologram on the Mighty Mug one? Did the Mighty Mug one have a hologram?
I think so.
I thought it did. I can't remember for sure.
Well, anyway, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've been talking about, they were pumping up that they had all these properties, these licenses. Was it last year? Or
yeah, they made a big deal.
They put up a big poster and everything. You
all
know,
these properties on it. And if it's just G.I. Joe 25th anniversary molds used on different lines, I'm good.
Well, even more so if it was just, hey, we did a couple of exclusives.
We did the box set.
In this box set.
Yeah, because people complained for forever that all we got was Matt Tracker in the Mask line. And so when we get something else from Mask, it's another Matt Tracker.
Matt Tracker again.
Oh, man, come on.
Well, their motto. You know their saying, their slogan.
Make do.
Make do.
Make do with what you've got.
Hasbro.
Just make do.
Make do.
Just make do. It's so weird, man, that their own properties, other than Transformers, they're doing great with Transformers.
Yeah.
But their own properties that they don't have to pay any licensing on, they cheap out so bad.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, Visionaries, and ROM look like cheaped out in this set. Whereas they spend all this effort and all this money into, like, Marvel Legends are great right now. I think that the Star Wars stuff, for the most part, even though it's kind of fizzling,
it looks really good. Yeah.
So for their own stuff that they don't put more, like, they aren't prouder of it. Like, they aren't willing to pony up the money for that stuff. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, make do. Make do.
Make do. All right. Is that everything?
That's it. That's what I've got.
For okay. So now is the part where I'm going to kind of talk about Spider-Man Homecoming a bit. Mike hasn't seen it.
Hold on to your butts.
But he doesn't care about spoilers. There may be some spoilers in here. If you want to remain completely spoiler-free from the movie, you should turn off the episode now. It's been good having you. I understand. Turn it off if you don't want to hear anything about Spider-Man
Homecoming. You can always come back later.
It's only been out a week. So I am going to talk about the movie here. So, like, Eric Meador doesn't like spoilers. I don't know if he's seen it yet. Turn off the show, Eric. You can get back to it later on.
Come back later.
I'm not going full-blown spoilers. Like, anything that was a big surprise in the movie, I'm going to try and avoid saying. But there is going to be certain things I talk about here with my pros and cons for the movie that will be seen as mildly spoilery. All right?
Yes.
So shut it off if you need to. I will start by saying that I did like the movie. That it was a fun movie. It was light years better than the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man films, in my opinion. I had way too many issues with those movies to consider them really enjoyable Spider-Man films.
Spider-Man.
I do not think it holds a candle to the first two Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. And that's not just my, you know, I'm devoted to those two films. I love them. But really, as true Spider-Man films, they work really, really well. And not just as Spider-Man films, but as films in general, they work well. And that You can follow the plot. You can see an evolution of a character. I went back and forth on if it's maybe better than Spider-Man 3 or not. And that may be sacrilegious to say to some people because, oh, Spider-Man 3 is terrible. But I'm trying to weigh out the problems I had with Spider-Man 3 and how big those problems were versus the problems I had with Spider-Man Homecoming and how big those problems were. And the things I enjoy about Spider-Man 3 versus the things I enjoy about Spider-Man Homecoming. I haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming enough yet to really judge it, but as of right now, I think that maybe the stuff I enjoyed in Spider-Man Homecoming was maybe more than the stuff I enjoyed in Spider-Man 3, maybe. Yeah. And the problems I had with Spider-Man 3 maybe were lesser, though, than the problems I had with Spider-Man Homecoming. So as of now, maybe it's the third best, but maybe it's not the third best. I don't really know. But the things that I did enjoy in Spider-Man Homecoming, Michael Keaton, first and foremost, was awesome. He was great as a villain. He's a great actor. Everything he was given, he just blew the roof off on it. It was great. I wish there was more of him in the movie. I wish I could somehow take Michael Keaton's Vulture and put it into the third Sam Raimi Spider-Man film instead of Sandman, get him out of the movie and put this in. Because he's great. And there's a scene in the film, which is in the trailers, where he's talking to, you know, the backseat. You know it's Peter Parker he's talking to, where he talks about, don't mess with me or I'll kill everyone you care about. But that whole scene, from the moment that they're in the car up until the end of the scene, I was on the edge of my seat. Like, if I would have had the whole movie just in that scene, it would have been no contest. It would have been the third best Spider-Man film. It's the most intense bit of villain dialogue in any Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. I bought him more as a serious threat and a serious villain than any other of the actors that have portrayed a Marvel Cinematic Universe villain.
I heard that his motivation was really more just like theft or weapons or something.
That's one of my cons of it, is that the villain himself is not super developed.
Yeah.
His motivation is to take care of his family. And they get kind of pushed aside by the shield controlled and Stark controlled Damage Control Company, which is from the comics. Damage Control is in the comics, where they come in and they clean up superhero messes.
Okay.
And his company is like a salvage company where they clean up the mess, and they get kind of pushed aside. And so then they keep some of the stuff that they got, and then he trains the whole direction of the company, and they're going to start taking and stealing stuff that's from these places and turning it into high-tech weapons and sell. So that's his whole gist.
I almost like that more than the
take over
the world angle.
Totally. I do agree with that completely. But it's very, very quickly that he gets to that point. Yeah, like, it's very much a, we lost this thing, I'm stealing stuff and making this. It's immediate, like, which, I mean, it's a movie, so it's got to be fast. And you don't really get the gist that he's becomes a, because he doesn't seem like a bad guy when he's just a salvage guy. And then he becomes like a bad guy. And so it's kind of quick to go that this guy would risk everything and become this thief and sell weapons to people and not really care about the consequences just because he wants to support his family. Yeah. So that part is a bit of a stretch. But again, like I said, everything they give Michael Keaton, he runs away with it. It's great.
Do you have Multiplicity yet? Do you own that?
I don't own it, but I've seen it multiple times.
I should own
that.
I've got to get it. Why don't I have to own that?
Why
didn't neither of us own it?
It's ridiculous.
It's a great movie.
I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again in the show. Watch Multiplicity to see what a great actor Michael Keaton is, because he's acting the same scenes like four or five times with nobody to act to.
Yeah.
He's acting to himself that's not in the scene, and they have to put it all together again, and it all works. Yeah. It's seamless. He's great.
It's great.
So that's 100% the thing I loved most about the movie was Michael Keaton. As far as Tom Holland goes, I liked him as Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I thought he did a good job in what he was given in Peter Parker and Spider-Man, but I had a lot of problems with how they handled that character of Spider-Man. One thing that Spider-Man is for me is that he's a character that is motivated by guilt and responsibility. That what happened, because he used his powers in the wrong way, he will always pay for it. And he's always going to be responsible. He's always going to have guilt. He doesn't even really want to be Spider-Man that much, but he has to do it because what embracing it and using it for his own profit cost him. So he's always going to know that great power, great responsibility, he's got to do it. In this film, I don't feel like he's ever faces that. Like, he's never really responsible. Like, it's a given that he's being Spider-Man and he has to keep being Spider-Man. But it seems like he's wanting to do it just to be an Avenger. Like, he just wants to be an Avenger. Like, all the time he's phoning Tony Stark and going, well, I'm checking in today. I did these things. I'm ready for my next mission. I'm ready to be an Avenger. I'm ready to be an Avenger. And he just keeps doing things to try and be an Avenger. He even talks about, like, dropping out of school to be an Avenger. He's like, I'm way past the school stuff. I'm going to be an Avenger. And it's like the whole motivation is just to be like a superstar and to be an Avenger, and not so much that he's got to be responsible and do the right thing. And you lose that, and you lose a big part of the Peter Parker character.
That's kind of reflective of today's narcissism. And it's like, well, I just want to do what I want to do, and I want to have fun. And there's
that's it.
Yes.
I mean, Uncle Ben is kind of not even a consequence in this film. They don't do the origin, and I agree with not doing the origin again.
Yeah, that's good. That's fine.
But at some point, you have to touch on that, the Uncle Ben thing. I mean, it seems like maybe it was hinted at a little bit where he says he has to be responsible for May or something and what she's lost. But at no point do I feel like he's ever learned the responsibility thing. Like, it's more, I'm doing this so I can be an Avenger. I want to be an Avenger.
Fulfilling his own wants.
And there's a certain aspect of it. He's a teenager and he would want to be this and he would be that, but it's kind of not the Spider-Man that I know. And that was the reason Spider-Man became a character for so long and was a success for so long, is because he was written as the hard luck hero and because he had problems and because it kind of sucked to be Spider-Man. Like, it was kind of, you felt bad for the guy that he had to keep doing it. J. Jonah Jameson hates him and the city doesn't really like him, and he can't pay the bills. He can't do this. He can't do that. But he's got to keep being Spider-Man. Yeah, he can't get the girl.
He never gets the girl.
So, I know there's Spider-Man stories that take that away. And it's mostly newer, the last couple of decades of Spider-Man that kind of take that away and embrace more of the, he's just being Spider-Man. He's being happy. And he's got this. And he's doing that. And they've lost what kind of makes Spider-Man cool and why he was a success from the 60s up through the 90s is that guilt and that hard luck hero and that, man, I got to keep doing it. Even though this is costing me this, I could go out on this date right now, but I got to go stop this robbery and I'm going to go stop it. And I'm going to look like a jerk and I got to go do this anyway. And not so much, I'm going to go do this so that Tony Stark will notice me. That's kind of lame to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Tony Stark thing, and I'm sorry if you're not, going on and on and on here, but you haven't seen the movie. So anytime you want to jump in though.
I'm here.
So the Tony Stark thing, he's supposed to be his mentor in the movie and he enlists him in Civil War to help fight Captain America because Captain America's, gone off and does his thing. So he gets him a new suit, takes him with him to Berlin or whatever it was that they fought Civil War at, has him fight Captain America, then takes him back to Queens and just kind of goes, now you be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, keep the suit and do what you got to do. And we'll keep tabs on you or something. And so then he does all these things and keeps calling and keeps trying to get his attention. Like, I'm ready for the big leagues. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do that. And he just keeps calling back like, you'll be fine. You know, just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. You know, keep grounded. Don't do this. Don't do that. And it's like, so you basically just used this kid. You basically just took him somewhere, introduced him to this world just so he'd help you fight Captain America. Then you drop him back and you really don't want to have anything to do with him. Like, that's what it felt like. It was very much like, okay, so why should he not be interested now? Because you took a teenage kid and showed him all this world and stuff, but then you're kind of just like, I'm too busy. We don't really need you.
Tony Snark.
It was really, that's the way it came across. Like, I didn't like Tony Stark and why he kind of used this kid.
Yeah.
It didn't feel right.
Yeah.
He gives him this awesome suit and then just kind of goes, have fun in New York. So he keeps trying to get his attention by doing these things, stopping these crimes. He finds out about the stealing the weapons and all that stuff. And then he has the big boat thing where the ferry breaks apart because of his mistakes trying to fight the guys. And then Tony's takes the suit back, which is on the trailers. He says, if you don't know about that suit, you don't deserve the suit, which we'll get in the suit thing in a second here. So he takes the suit away. And then Peter just basically does the same things he was doing before, where he tries to stop the big bad guy on his own. And help everybody and do his thing. And he's successful in what he does. And then it's just kind of like, you did a good job. Here's the suit back. And it felt like, what?
I don't need your suit.
Wait a second. Why did he take it away and then give it right back for him doing the exact same thing he was doing before? Like, he acted kind of like he was just learned responsibility or something, but he kind of didn't. Like, he just did the same things he was doing before, but in his homemade suit instead of his suit you gave him. So it was kind of like, okay. And then, I mean, I'm not going to go too far because I don't really want to spoil things. But that really struck me like, okay, as I sat there, I'm like, okay, what has changed? Because he seems like he's the same as he was before. But now you're cool with him because he was successful, I guess. Okay. And the suit itself, I as much as I love the visuals of the suit, I think it's a really cool looking suit. I absolutely hated all the bells and whistles. The Iron Man, Spider-Man suit. I hated it.
Yeah, I could see in the trailer. I hated it. Man, that's going to turn me.
It was super annoying. He gets, at first it's just a suit that does the things like it vacuum forms to him. And then his buddy manages to hack the suit, and they, which is also in the trailers. Like, you got the training wheels.
His high school buddy.
His high school buddy hacks the Tony Stark made suit to then take off all the training wheels, which they talk about that in the trailer. You know, he's hacking the suit, but all the stuff that the suit's doing is because he hacks the suit.
No.
So it now has an AI that talks to him and has all these different webbings it can do and do all these different crazy things and zoom in and has like thermal vision and all this ridiculous stuff that I was just like, please stop. I just want to see Spider-Man being Spider-Man. I don't want to see Tony Stark.
Well, if you give him everything, it's not really, I mean, what's the fun of having a
superhero? Exactly. Why be Spider-Man then? You might as well just be anybody.
Make a Superman.
Anybody can be in that suit doing all that stuff. Yeah. It doesn't have to be Spider-Man anymore. It's just a suit that does things. It's Iron Man Jr. That's all it is. It was super annoying. No, I really, really hated.
No kid's going to hack a Stark Industries.
Exactly. That's the other thing. Suit. The kid. The Ned character is funny. His friend Ned. He's funny. It was too much. It got to be too much of him. He's a character that's been taken from the comics because Ned Leeds in the comics is not Ned Leeds in the show. They did a lot of that where they just took a name and they threw it on a character and the character was nothing like what the character was before. So the Ned Leeds from the comic is a reporter for the Daily Bugle.
I see.
In this, he's now his friend from school that is the character Genki from the Ultimate Spider-Man series. He's basically just a carbon copy of Miles Morales, Spider-Man's friend that knows his identity.
So why not just make it him?
So now, exactly. So why not just make it him? Why has he got to be called Ned Leeds? Why not just make him Genki? Why do you have to change it? Or why do you even need it in the first place? It's Miles Morales' character, not Peter Parker's. The cool thing about Peter Parker, especially in the first few years, was he had nobody to confide in.
Yeah.
It was just him. He had to keep the secret. It was a burden. He couldn't tell anybody. They would make fun of him at school, and he would just kind of have to hold his fist and go, I got to keep it in. I could probably lay out Flash right now, but I got to keep it in. I have to keep this to myself. And they all made fun of him. And he knew that if he told him he was Spider-Man, he could be the most popular guy in school, but he didn't. But immediately, this young kid, his friend, now knows. And so now he's got his buddy that he confides in with everything and asks him all these questions about being Spider-Man. And this kid knows everything about him being Spider-Man. Everybody knows he's Spider-Man. Like, it's like there's so many characters in the film that know he's Spider-Man.
Hmm.
It's Tony Stark knows he's Spider-Man. Happy Hogan knows he's Spider-Man. Genki knows he's Spider-Man. I mean, it's venturing into spoiler characters, but other major characters find out he's Spider-Man. It's like, what? You're costing yourself all the coolness of him having to hide the fact that he's Spider-Man. If everybody knows he's Spider-Man,
yeah, big deal.
What's cool about the secret identity at that point?
Yeah.
And I mean, I know I'm going off and it sounds like I'm just tearing it apart. I did enjoy the film,
yeah.
But these are just the problems that I have with it to keep it from being a really great Spider-Man film. It's a fun film. It's not a great Spider-Man film.
A lot of these same things seem to be right in line with all the other problems with all the other recent movies. You know, the short-sightedness in the storytelling,
yeah.
the lack of a character arc where there's no, you know, no major change. There's no catalyst for a change.
Exactly.
Where an attitude happens. It's just a lot of jokes and a lot of
action.
It's
a whole lot of jokes. There are also some adult jokes in there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, I'm nitpicking. You know, I'm a parent, and I had my 10-year-old there with me. And there were a couple jokes in there that I was like, okay, we didn't really need kind of the bathroom humor or the sort of adult take on things. And I won't say the jokes, so I don't want to ruin them. But they were very much, there was even one where Keaton turned to me and said, what is that? And I had to say, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. And it just wasn't, like, necessary. You can do jokes without doing certain kinds of jokes. They did get a good job of capturing the high school vibe, and I liked that. A lot of people complain and say, oh, Tobey Maguire was so old in that first movie. I don't really buy that. Tobey Maguire looks young to me in that first movie. There's very little of that movie that's in high school. It's almost immediately where he's in college at ESU. So it's being taken as he's late in the game in high school when this happens to me in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man film. He had to almost be an adult to sign up for the wrestling thing. He had to be probably 18 to sign off on those waivers.
Yeah.
So we were looking at a Spider-Man that was a young adult in that first movie. Yeah, he's supposed to be 15 in this movie. But I never bought into that. But they do a good job of capturing the high school stuff. Everybody is also railing on about the read online. Oh, that's the first Spider-Man that's funny. Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was never funny. He was. There are aspects in there that you're just forgetting where he makes jokes as Spider-Man.
There's a difference between humor
and overboard
and comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think a superhero movie is really a place for humor.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases.
There's a lot of elements in where he's in the Spider-Man suits where he makes jokes in the Maguire films. But he also has that guilt, that responsibility, and those things to the character that are important. This one doesn't have those. Doesn't have any of those. So you got lots of humor.
Yeah.
But you miss all the other stuff.
There's humor in a Bond, in a James Bond movie.
You have to balance it.
Yeah.
You have to balance it.
Doesn't mean it's a... That's what the trailer looked like. And every movie that comes... Like, even the Thor Ragnarok, to me, it was like, this is a... Looks like a comedy.
It looks like a comedy.
It all looks like a comedy. They don't know how to...
It's back into that short attention span thing again.
Indiana Jones. Perfect example, too, of how to balance action, adventure,
comedy,
drama, and some humor so that you don't get too bogged down, but not... You're not going for belly laughs all the time. You're not going for like, you know, oh,
exactly.
Well, huh.
And I admit that the Spider-Man character is a funny character. He says puns. Yeah, he does these things. But also in the comics, there's a lot of internalization and there's a lot of the guilt and the responsibility and those things that play into it too. When he's in Spider-Man mode, he's talking to a villain, he makes the puns, but there's also all that other stuff. It's not just a pun character. It's not Deadpool. It's not just puns all the time.
Right.
You have to have a balance. And I think the original Sam Raimi films do a good job of giving that balance. He jokes when he drops on Mary Jane. He says, let mom and pop talk for a second. I'm not coming back, chief. All these things that people just kind of gloss over and go, well, those weren't even in there. He didn't ever make jokes. He did.
Those didn't make me laugh heartily.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh heartily at those.
And I don't want to just keep on saying, oh, it's because this is better and this is better. I'm really just saying the things that I have problems with and kind of addressing some of the things that people say online as it's better because of these things that they didn't have in these movies. Well, it's a trade-off. You have to give a balance.
I didn't laugh as much at the Sam Raimi Spider-Man as I did at Harold and Kumar.
So it must be better. Harold and Kumar must be better. And the other thing,
Spider-Man.
I mean, we're over an hour now. I'll stop with this. Is that the Aunt May character is terrible.
Oh yeah,
she's terrible.
Hot May.
It's terrible. it's just terrible. I mean, Marissa Tomei is a fine actress.
Yeah.
I don't need hip, relatable Aunt May. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need you to beat me over the head with Tony Stark finds her attractive. You know, he's telling you, oh, I hope you're wearing something skimpy. He finds her attractive. They go to a dinner and the waiter finds her attractive. He gives her free food because he finds her attractive.
Well, it's Marissa Tomei.
It's just, okay, we get it. You chose a young Aunt May. We got it. You don't have to beat me over the head with the fact that it's young, cool Aunt May. Yeah. I don't need to know. I can see you chose... Young, cool Aunt May, and everybody likes her. Everybody thinks she's cute. Okay. Doesn't make it cool. Doesn't make it cool that you did that.
Well.
On the soundtrack, not memorable at all. Soundtrack's not memorable at all.
Yeah.
At the beginning sequence, they play a play on the 60s, the 67 TV series theme, and that's great. That's great. But the rest of the soundtrack, completely not memorable.
Yeah.
I couldn't I usually can hum the tune of a superhero theme. I can't tell you what Spider-Man's theme was in this movie.
Yeah.
It needs a theme. Come on, you need a theme.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I've rambled on about it enough. But again, I did like the movie. It was a fun movie.
Well, give it a, like, out of 5 stars, what do you give it?
I give it like a 3.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know,
like
3 out of 5.
3, yeah.
It's a 3. Yeah, it's got, if you're not a big Spider-Man fan, if you don't really know the history of the character, if your only exposure is to the Ultimate Comics, some of the newer stuff, it might be perfectly fine for you. Yeah. You might give it a 4.5. But for me, the problems I have and the loss of the Spider-Man character that we get in the movie really brings it down. It makes it less enjoyable for me because I can't move past those things. It's tough for me to just go, okay, it's a different take on Spider-Man. Okay, why? Why a different take on Spider-Man? Why can't you just do Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Maybe because the Sam Raimi movies did that classic version so well that this was the best that idea for them was to do a completely different take on it. And I can see that. It's just not one that I like.
Yeah.
It's not one that I want to watch. The sequel, I think, has a better chance, especially if they move away from that stupid Stark suit crap get that out of the way, yeah. and we're turning back to Spider-Man. Because that was the most enjoyable times for me, is when the suit wasn't doing all the work. When he was in the homemade suit, that was the most enjoyable times of Spider-Man for me in the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Worth seeing, but not my favorite Spider-Man by far.
Yeah.
So, okay. That was it.
All right.
What did you think about Spider-Man Homecoming? Please post.
I thought it was about three stars. Oh.
On Facebook.com/action features. Don't put spoilers in there, though. Just, you know, a rough opinion of the movie. That way other people that see it don't get spoiled. Okay?
Don't spoil.
Come on, guys. Don't spoil.
Don't be a spoil sport.
Don't be a spoily sport. All right.
Mike and James, action features. Tell your friends.
See ya.